is just focused on what's next, guys, what's next.
Today is World Cancer Day. Dr. Howard Burris III, president of the American Society of Clinical Oncology, says he's happy to report some good news.
In several key diseases such as melanoma, kidney cancer, and pancreatic cancer, we've actually seen these new therapies reduce the extent of surgery that needs to be done and actually eliminating the need for surgery in certain populations.
Dr. Burris also says when it comes to fighting cancer, early detection is key. The primary goal of the day observed by the United Nations is to significantly reduce illness and deaths from cancer. More than 900 events are planned today in more than 100 countries. For more news, find us online at usaradio.com or check us out on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
So hello, it's Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters, and I've got the mayor of Bethlehem Township, Paul Muir, on. Say hello, Paul.
How are you? Thank you for having me.
Great. Glad that you could be back. We're going to play a few announcements and commercials and be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So it's Joe Peters, and I'm back with the weather forecast. This is very scientific as to how we do it. We take our Android, we put it in our left hand, and we pick up the weather, and it looks like it's going to rain for the next couple of days but be warm. So the difference would be it could be raining and be snow and be cold. It's going to be 59 today. Right now it is 57, so we're almost at that high, 34 overnight. It's going to be 39 tomorrow, 30 overnight, still raining some. 45 on Thursday, 39 overnight, and then 43 on Friday, and then it drops down to 23 overnight and 36 on Saturday. It looks like we're going to have a little precipitation each day, but here we are, the 5th of February, 4th of February, 2020, and we haven't really had anything snow. We eyes over and a nice dusting. I'm going to pay a few more commercials, and we'll be right back with Paul.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
So, hey, it's Joe Peters, and I'm back with Paul Muir. I'm pronouncing it right?
Yeah, yes, Muir, yep. Good afternoon.
Paul just told me that he has rotated off his mayorship. He was mayor for 7 years and probably will be mayor again, but right now there is another fellow who's taken over as mayor, and his name is?
Walter Baumgarten.
Walter Baumgarten. Yes. Where do I know that name?
Walter was on our committee about 20 years ago. He had served 1 year as mayor back then, so we don't apparently leave Bethlehem too often.
It's one of those places you grow up and stay.
Yes.
So talk about growing up. Did you grow up in Bethlehem?
I didn't. Actually, I grew up in Union County, and in high school I lived in Morris County.
Okay.
But I grew up in a small town, Mountainside, in Union County. So, it was a very similar feel, so a little bit more suburban. But as far as how we all interacted with each other and supporting each other as part of the community is really what stuck with me and what I love about Hunterdon County as a whole and Bethlehem in particular.
Wow, that is neat to hear, because I think most of us, I came from Middlesex County 20 years ago, and we just fell in love with it. It took us a while to find the right house, and then we bought a bigger house, like it was house lust. I don't know what we bought the bigger house for, because there was only two of us in a 4,300 square foot house. And then about 10 years ago, we sold and decided to rent for a year till we decided what we wanted to do, and it was back when house prices were dropping, and we were a little afraid we'd go underwater. We got out okay, and we rented for a year, and now I'm in my second rental, and I'm still renting. And it's not so bad. And that's one of the things I want to talk a little about, is that we're building nothing but rentals in New Jersey.
Yes.
And 66% of what we built last year were rental-only properties, and it's forecast that we're going to build 5 times those units this year. That's what's planned.
Yes.
So we're moving towards a rental society.
Yes, I think it's a demographic and generational shift, too, is that the ownership isn't as important. And I think after the Great Recession in 2008, people don't feel as comfortable that that's the foundation of their savings anymore.
Well, and we, early 70s, are saying, well, the last thing we need is another bad investment.
Yes.
And the last house turned out to be we lost money on it, so over what we bought it at least. And we're just reluctant to invest. So I'm in a really nice townhouse in Beaverbrook, and if I would say 60% of what I paid a guy in rent would go to taxes and homeowners anyway.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a cheap investment. Yes, I don't get a tax write-off at the end of the year. Probably wouldn't get it anyway. It wouldn't be worth all that much in today's tax society. So we're witnessing that, as you said, it's a generational thing that people are thinking, I don't really want to own, and I'm not sure I really want to be in Hunterdon County because I'm working all the way over near New York. Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to be in a more cosmopolitan. But it's a tender trap, because what happens over there is let's say you move to Jersey City or Bayonne and you work in New York City. Well, everything you do costs more money. Your coffee costs more money. Your dry cleaner costs more money. Your parking costs more money.
Yes.
Your apartment costs more money. As a result, you don't accumulate any income or discretionary savings that you could buy a house with. So it sort of doesn't bring them back. The people that move in are, and I move about three or four couples a year into Hunterdon and Somerset County, are people who are between their first and second child and are looking for lifestyle. They're looking for a quality of life change. That's what we're bringing in. Where did you go to school? That's what I meant to ask there.
So when I grew up in Mountainside, I went to elementary school at Oak Knoll and Summit, and then in high school, that's where I lived outside of Morristown. I went to Del Barton up in Morristown.
Okay.
So, you know, my parents were focused on the Catholic education side of both of those schools, but they were excellent, you know, private schools and great opportunities.
As I said, I grew up in Edison, and we then went to Rutgers at night for about 7 years. Never did finish my degree. Took all the credits, took a semester off, and never went back, kind of thing. So I got what I needed, though.
Yes.
And I think, because when I listen to Mike McDonough, who was with RVCC, he says, you know, we're just educating in people and things. We don't need that career anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like I said, I had an excellent education. I went to Bucknell, you know, University, and I met my wife there. But I was the first generation in my family to graduate from college, and I have a business degree with a concentration in finance. But there's a lot of life skills and things that I do that didn't come from that formal education. So I think we need to find a balance and strike a balance, as you know. You know, in addition to the community things that I do, you know, I have an auto restoration business, and those are skills that most definitely weren't acquired with the traditional style of education. But I think finding that balance between the two and finding the skill sets that we need, and that's something that even Hunterdon County can look at is we're trying to attract new families. What industries do we serve? What's lacking, and how can we attract those individuals?
So, what years were you at Bucknell?
I actually was proud to say graduated early. I was there for I graduated in 3.5 years. So, in 97 is when I graduated.
Well, my son-in-law went that time. Okay. His last name is Wagenseller. He went for his first 2 years, then his father pulled him out to Florida. And he made some lifelong friends from Bucknell people.
So unfortunately, I don't know the name, but I maybe if I saw his face, it's not a big school. And I was, you know, fortunate I stayed there and taught at Bucknell for a little while.
Wow.
But it was a great experience. But even while I was there, I still rented a garage and ran a small auto shop business while I was at Bucknell also.
And that's your passion.
Yes.
And that's how I mentioned when
yes.
I came
yes.
to introduce the two of us.
Yes.
I have a Corvette, and my Corvette sits in a new my 19-year-old Corvette sits in a garage, and my new Caddy sits outside. But that's it.
It's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And your family business is a
we're a metals recycling business.
I knew
so
it was something yes, to do with
yes, yes. So my great grandfather started that in the 30s, and we've sold our original business, but I'm still in the industry in a much smaller scale. I'm actually speaking at a zero waste summit at NJIT in
wow.
March. It's twofold. I'm speaking one on the kind of the lifespan of recycling and the industrial side of it. We recycle industrial metals from manufacturing. And then also linking to my role in the Red Mill, we're talking about the reduction of waste through historic preservation and reuse of buildings, because one of the largest producers of waste is demolition and construction waste.
Okay, so we're going to go through a little bit of what's happening in Bethlehem, a little bit of the Red Mill, a little bit of you're on the 7822 project.
Yes.
And a little bit of the tourism.
Yes.
And maybe spend 10 minutes each. That's going to be our 40 minutes. So it's
going to
fly like a shot. What is happening in Bethlehem Township? I mean, everybody's got this, we call it something we have to do between now and 2025 is build about 200,000 affordable housing units.
Yes.
And every town's got some. You can't mm-hmm. sell your units. Mm-hmm. People used to trade them for whatever
yes.
or sell them.
Yes.
But how many did you get allocated with?
So our total is about 380 to 155 of those would be affordable units. And I think it's always important to share that, you know, the affordable is not, you know, people kind of have this scenario of what the affordable housing is, whether it's subsidized. It's just income capped, so it's kind of like a rent controlled apartment, and people seem to be familiar with what rent controlled apartments in New York City would be like. In Hunterdon County, the income levels are fairly high, so it's actually a good opportunity to attract some of those younger families that may choose to be in a more urban area. It gives them an opportunity to come in. But there's also a lot of challenges, because especially for a town like Bethlehem, you know, I say we're not traditionally affordable, not for any particular
right.
intentional reason, but the transportation is non-existent other than your own vehicle. We don't have a lot of jobs. We have some businesses, and it would be nice to provide income for some of those employees, but there's not an overwhelming number of businesses. So you need reliable transportation, which costs a little bit more. You need that insurance. There's food and stores are not close by, so, again, you're traveling and spending fuel. So it's not intrinsically affordable, but we, you know, do have to make some entry level.
So what will happen in the next 12 months, affordable housing wise?
So in Bethlehem, I'd say we're fortunate as far as being forced to build affordable housing. We were given those requirements through the settlement. We were one of the first to settle in the state of New Jersey, and we have what's called a durational adjustment because Bethlehem Township is 99% in the Highlands. And so our planning area, which is where you can't build in the preservation area, but the planning area is what would be acceptable, is actually, and this was not our choice, it was Highlands' choice, the planning area is in our most beautiful valley along the Musconetcong River.
Oh, wow.
Which really precludes the building to occur, which is why it's called a durational adjustment, because that's where, based on planning maps, says we can build it, but without infrastructure, which is nearly impossible to put there, we can't build it. So, you know, if we can build other places in town, but right now our settlement says this is the area that was identified where we could build with certain. So yes, yeah. So we make our efforts. You know, this is the third round. Like you said, it goes to 2025. Affordable housing has been going on. You know, we've had this debate of what to do with it since 1986, and unfortunately it's ended up in the courts, which has made it infinitely more difficult than if the legislature had just taken this on the way they should have if they were going to mandate this on the towns.
It's interesting because I pulled some statistics. I mean, December, January are not typical months. It's slow down time. But in Bethlehem Township, there's 15 houses for sale, and you sold 5, which gives you 3 months' supply, which means you're under 4 to 6 is our average selling cost. So I took a look at your price points as to what's selling out there, and of those 5, they averaged $493,000. And as a county, we average $400,000. So you've got some nice houses up there, although I think they're suffering from being further away from New York than other areas in the county.
Yes, but I think people are finding Bethlehem. I know one thing I talk about, and you said I've been mayor for 7 years. This is my 10th year on the township committee, and we work hard to make it a place that people want to be. And so while we don't have a downtown, like a more urban area, we make it a wonderful place for families to be. And so we've been recognized by New Jersey Family Magazine, and Niche is one of the top 20 towns to raise a family in New Jersey.
Wow.
And so when you look at that, our school system is of course, excellent, as many are in Hunterdon, but we do a particularly good job. So you combine those and families looking for a place to be. It really is an amazing place. If you're willing to travel just a little bit, it's an amazing place to raise your family. So I think people are
reckoning. The community, there's not that much traffic, that extra 5 miles.
It is. It's not too bad at all. Yes.
What? I lost my thought. When I lived in, what high school do you go to?
North Hunterdon.
North Hunterdon.
Yes.
So that's a very sought after.
Yes.
You know, Voorhees is part of it.
Yes.
North
is, yes.
When I sold my house in Clinton Township, mm-hmm. and it was up at the top of Allerton on Blue Cliff. The guy that bought it wanted it for his kid to go to high school in North. This kid was coming into high school, and he wanted it for 4 years.
Yes.
He's been trying to sell it since then. He's not had a good time because he bought it, and the price went down a little bit, and whatever. That's why I was selling it.
Yeah.
But people buy houses because of the
school. Well, a lot of the most recent families that I've been fortunate enough to get to know and talk to that moved into town recently, and I think even it's interesting when you look at social media because we have a Bethlehem Township community page run by a resident.
Right.
And I've seen some posts from some of these new home buyers. I think two or three of the families have already posted, I have kids, what's, you know, aftercare like, what should I expect from the schools? They're families, and I think they've chosen it because of the schools and the community that's there.
Definitely. I mean, you don't have a lot of tax ratables, which makes your tax a little on the
high side. It is, yes.
But the offset is, if you lived in Bridgewater, who has millions of tax ratables, it's busy traffic burden place.
Yes.
We also have a really interesting mix of people out here.
Yes.
So I find it, we've been here 20 years. Mm-hmm. We've lived in Clinton and Tewksbury in that time frame, really just in the Tewksbury and edge of Clinton Township, that there's no reason to leave it.
Other than
maybe if you had to commute all the way to New York, it's a lot. Marilyn drove the Rutgers. That was 26 miles.
Yeah.
Okay, she got on a road by quarter to after 7. Yeah. She got there at 8:30.
Yes.
Wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But it's still a commute. And I think people, if you realize you're going to commute anyway, just say, okay, is it worth that extra 5 or 10 minutes to live where I want to live?
Yes. I think it is. And I moved here 20 years ago, and I was making the commute 8 miles at the time. When you said about Middlesex, I was commuting to Woodbridge from Mountainside to Woodbridge and thinking about purchasing a home in that area. It was taking me 45 minutes to travel 8 miles back then. So I said, you know, I'd rather travel 45 minutes or an hour and at least be driving on the highway because I didn't want to sit in the traffic. And for the most part, the commute's not too bad.
It's not too bad. And I lived in Sarreville because we bought the house there. The kids grew up there. I took the train out of South Amboy into New York. That took about 41 minutes if we didn't hit traffic on a train, which you hit once in a while. But put 15 minutes on either end, it was about an hour and a half ride. Yes. So 45 minutes is not
It's not bad at all. And I still commute to Middlesex on a fairly regular basis. I go up to Morris County for events. And you plan it, and some days you hit traffic, but for the most part,
so one of the things, doable. Because I'm very involved in Somerset, mm-hmm. I'm also very involved in Hunterdon, mm-hmm. I find that most people get on the highway and go east each morning.
Yes.
Both counties.
Yes.
Okay. Even where we're at, we're mm-hmm. getting all the people coming east from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
We pay $2 minimum better than Pennsylvania does.
Yes.
Plus, we have more jobs. We call that traffic. Okay.
Yes.
It's just natural.
Yes.
But the filling of the industrial parks along 78 mm-hmm. and 22, do you see that bringing more jobs where people can work where they live?
I think it does, but the numbers that aren't significant because when you look at those warehouses, a lot of them have significant automation, and you know, so we've looked we've been approached in Bethlehem, and I don't think they're a good fit for Bethlehem Township, even though there's access to 78. But as far as jobs go, they're somewhat limited when you look at the shifts, depending on the size. There's not a lot of employment in those warehouses.
Yeah, I think the automation, you're right on. And just walk into Walmart. That's the result of what $15 an hour does to you.
Yes.
And we're not paying $15 an hour. Our minimum wage is still 10 or 11 bucks, but we have to pay 15 because we're the people.
And you know, like any business or nonprofit, your planning is 3 years out. So you know you're going to be paying $15 soon enough.
So they've automated the whole front end. They've got where you could pick it up. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, if you think about Walmart, it's a different kind of business. Layaway is a credit card for people who can't get credit.
Yes.
And I was always in a retail business, so I understand it. Walmart is not a company that is going to get a lot of credit card business. So it's a local Amazon.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yes.
But you still got to go to the store. Mm-hmm. Where Amazon, we bought a barbecue. And we're sitting on the back porch saying, look at this little tray underneath the kitchen. It's the grease. We probably need to buy some more of those. Go on my phone, I found it was $6.99, I hit the button, it was in the mailbox the next day.
Yes.
The next day was a Sunday.
Yes.
I don't know why they delivered it on a Sunday. Well, you got to drive to a Walmart.
Yes.
But it's a different business.
Yes. Yes.
So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that I'm not used to driving anymore.
I think people are just used to having the convenience of being sent there. And you're watching other businesses react to it. I mean, I've seen these commercials for an Ace Hardware, and I love to support small business, and I try to find smaller businesses to work with. But you see some of those, like Ace now will deliver either mail or they'll do hot deliveries for a small fee from their local stores. I think you're going to see that adaptation. You're going to have to respond to it. Well, there are, yes, grocery stores have been delivering. And
we don't have that many Ubers out here yet, but we're getting more and more.
Yes.
We can get food delivered for a little extra
price. Much more than,
I think we're coming into a different lifestyle. I know we're coming into a different lifestyle because we're thinking differently than we did just 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a .com. I worked in Austin, Texas for a year and a half. I actually commuted there from here.
Yeah.
And we were trying to get people to do what they're doing today.
Yeah.
We were just 20 years ahead of our time.
Yeah.
And Amazon came along and knocked the cover off the ball.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Tesla has knocked the cover off the ball. That stock hit $900.
Yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
It's going to come. It can't.
I think.
They made it.
Yeah,
money.
Yeah.
It's like the .com story.
It's not a stock show, but maybe you want to short that one.
Well, we looked at it. My friend Ray is a Tesla. He knows I got the vet, and I was in Phoenix, and he saw the text. He said, Joe, I'm in Phoenix. Why don't you come over for dinner? You drive my Tesla. So he had the $87,000 model. It was a rocket.
Oh, they're fat. I'll admit they're fast. But, it's interesting. My concern about all this, and it's a market change, and I'm a big believer in free markets. But I also like the communities. We were just talking about the community aspect of Hunterdon. So if people aren't coming out of their homes you're limiting that community aspect too. So trying to figure out what's the next model. And I think eventually people are going to, or I hope they're going to look around and say, you know what, I'm not seeing my neighbors as much, I'm not seeing my friends, and what can we do to...
But there's that bedroom community mentality. And Marilyn's a great example. She worked at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. Everybody had their PhD or master's at Rutgers. Yeah. She said she didn't even have a college degree, but she was replaced with a person with her doctorate. And in effect, she worked at Rutgers, came home, and lived in a $400,000 to $500,000 development. When we were on Blue Cliff, it was a $700,000 or $800,000. And she back and forth, never looked at a side. Now she got forced retirement. Mm-hmm. She's working at Costco doing what she loves, talking to people, handing out samples. Yeah. But she's discovered people that are making what we make.
Yeah.
And people that are living like we mm-hmm. live like. Yeah. And I was talking to Bonnie Duncan about it. And people that are working free jobs and have no benefits.
Yes, yes.
And she said, I'm amazed. I said, Marilyn, there's more of them than us. You just never saw them before. Yes. We call it ALICE, which is asset limited, income constrained, but employed.
Yes.
These are really good people, and our kids, some of our kids are doing this. Mm-hmm. They're ringing your groceries, they're pumping your gas, they're probably a half a paycheck away from devastation if something major comes up, but they've never got enough education to earn much more money, or in some instances never had somebody to show them as a mentor that you don't have to work for this, so a little bit of education can work for that. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you that great example, Mike McDonough saying, you come to our junior college, $6,400 a year. You work 2 years there because you can't live here anyway. So it's $12,800. You spend some money. Maybe you spend $15,000 at the end of it. I can put you to work for $90,000 right in Somerset County.
Yes.
You don't have to go get a 4-year degree at Cornell or wherever. Spend $250,000 when you come out. You're going to go to New York City and get $75,000.
Yes. Yes.
So we're off kilt the way we're educating it, and I think the STEM jobs coming here, which I know Mark is working very big on, and the guy who does the UPS factor of an app, this thing, to really need in some of the things that they're doing.
Oh, yes.
Bringing the right kind of job in. Yeah. But we got into this in another group this morning, is that a person earning $50,000, which is probably what you can earn when you come out of college, can only afford $1,250 a month. Whether it be an apartment or a house. Yeah. We don't have either for $1,250. No. Our apartments are $1,400 to $1,500. Mm-hmm. The house is probably a little more. So, okay, now you got to save some money. Well, maybe I can go earn some money, better money elsewhere, or cut my commute by living closer to New York. But as we said earlier,
you there's a balance to the cost of living. Around. Yes.
Talk about what's new. What happens in the next year in Bethlehem Township that's new?
Yes, like I say, it's going to be influenced on our committee change and seeing what we get done and find a way to work together. That's been kind of the challenge to start the year off and keep things on track. I think it's a challenge in any local government. People bring different ideas, and how you bring them is kind of what's important in working together. So I don't think you're going to see any, you know, hopefully significant negative changes. You know, we're going into our budget season, so we're going to look and see what we can do. I think, our schools have some challenges, and while we don't control their budget, we need to be considerate of what they may be doing as a municipality so that we don't hurt our taxpayer, that all the schools in Hunterdon County and Warren and lost a significant amount of funding over the past year. Wow. And for the next, Bethlehem Township schools will lose about $1.2 million over the next 5 years, or of course, just based on, the reduction of students, which is not significant, but it's not as significant as that number indicates, but the state was saying that the numbers were trailing, so they we're still about 360 students, which is a decent capacity for our schools.
What was it 5 years
ago? We're probably maybe 100 more students.
So that's most of our listeners probably don't realize that at the high school level, we're down about 24% over 5 years ago.
Yes.
And it's because we're not getting the people moving out here, and the people are moving out here having one, maybe two children, not five, like I had. Okay, so people aren't thinking the same.
Yeah.
And as a result, we have less kids in school, but it's not everywhere, because where we built all the apartments between Somerville and Hillsborough, and they're $1,750 apartments, so I'm not sure who's in there. That's a $75,000 salary to live in there.
Yeah.
The Gloria, who was, until the first of the year, the mayor, a lot of mayor changes this year. Yes. Gloria, the mayor there, said, our schools are overflowing again. We were the same thing. Yeah. We're losing off, but when they built the apartments, we filled it back up.
I think you'll see in some of the towns, and I've seen some economic projections, and you probably see this in the real estate world. If you're looking at, like, Clinton Town, Glen Gardner, Hampton, Highbridge, houses a little bit more affordable, and they have downtown centers. And these are some of the communities that are building the new apartments and affordable housing. Those are going to bring families in. I think you're going to see those numbers go up. And even in Bethlehem, like I said, we're restricted in what we may be able to build where it was chosen. But if somebody, the market, finds the ability to build those houses somewhere else in town, they could. And that may be a benefit at this point to the schools.
So I understand the ones that are across as you come up from Immaculate Conception, there's a development going in. I think it's all affordable housing. And one of my neighbors was telling me her son works there as a rental agent. And I said, well, she's been complaining about the cost where we're at because they just assessed us $5,000 for capital funds that needed to be done. And I said, why don't you think about it over there? She said, they only have one bathroom. I said, you're kidding me. She said, yeah, because they're affordable housing. They're not what you and I are used to. And I didn't realize that.
And they're not – it's not supposed to be that way. Okay. So, I mean, they have a building plan, so I'm leaving it up to Clinton Township to know that they're monitoring what they should. But there are stipulations, I do know. So if they're building, they're supposed to be like-kind units. They have to build them in proportion, so you can't build all your market-rate units first and then wait for the affordable at the end when the developer's taking their money out of it. So, yeah, those are the things. But – yeah, you do have to look and see what the comparables are there.
So, as I said earlier, I met him at a meeting, and we got to talking, Alan Hunt.
Yes.
He runs the Musconetcon Watershed
Association.
Yes. Wonderful talk we had about what he's doing up there. And he mentioned he works with you on a lot of that. But that's right where your allocation is in his watershed.
It is, yes. And so that's why we're trying to protect that. And that's why, thankfully, we can't build there, even though that's where it's been designated. But it is. And Alan's great. We're looking to potentially add some open space to Bethlehem Township with Musconetcon Watershed Association. They have they're next to the Asbury Graphite Mills, they've restored, as the director of the Red Mill, I said they've done a wonderful job with their mill, but they have an old chemical testing facility that's in a little island,
right.
And the Bethlehem Township and Hunterdon County border are right in the middle of the river there,
okay.
And there's a little island space, and they've gotten Green Acres funding along with some other grants to take that building down. And if they can remove it, Bethlehem Township's looking to acquire that as an open space park. It'd be a great launch for kayaks, great for fishing, really just a wonderful space for our residents.
I didn't realize the factory was out of business. It was graphite. Yeah. It was like a pencil factory, but it wasn't really a pencil. It was a graphite.
Yes.
But it wasn't mined, he said, in that area.
No.
It was brought there and processed. And then
yes.
I was in many... When I was with software company, the manufacturing guys sat next to me, and they had three different kind of things they sold. They sold end products, pencils, cigarettes, big end products, jet planes, cars, and they sold process engineering. Mm-hmm. Was stuff that went into stuff. You never saw it, so it was stuff that went into stuff.
Actually, even the Red Mill was a graphite mill at one point. Yeah, so it was called the Black Mill, and it was... closed a little bit because of the market, but also, from what we can tell, a lot of public outcry because that was in the early 1900s. It was about 1903 and soon after. And back then, you didn't have washing machines, and people hung their clothes out. And people spent more time outside and have air conditioning.
Right.
And the graphite dust would float over the river and contaminate the town. And so there's a lot of public outcry towards the black mill. And they went the opposite direction, started processing talc soon after that. So that was the last product produced there. But we did the same. It was brought in from somewhere else. And what was interesting is we've been doing more and more research, and the last owner of the mill is Chester Thompson. We thought he was kind of a local owner and owned that mill, but apparently he and his brother had a rather large corporation, and they owned mills throughout the Northeast and East Coast. And they would look for old grist mills because they figured out a process to use the grist processing to process graphite. So they could modify the equipment that's in there, which is what was done in our building. We've tracked them down. They had kind of a Bucknell connection near Bucknell, Sunbury, Pennsylvania. Apparently there was a Thompson mill out in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. And they own quite a few, and they would look for these grist mills to process graphite.
So you've been ahead of the Red Mill Foundation for a while.
Yes, I was a board member since 2010, so 10 years, and then officially the executive director for the past 4 years.
Wow.
I'm starting my fifth year as the director.
And what has happened since 10 years ago with that? I mean, it's amazing. I go to their Halloween.
Yeah, that's one thing. I said it's growth is our big thing, I would say. And I would just say trying to buck some trends. I was just talking about this earlier today that, you know, nonprofits become from being over the Red Mill, become pretty passionate about nonprofits. As, you know, we're a history and education museum, but as a whole, I've tried to take some of the things that a for-profit business does and apply that. And I think there's a different mentality to what that means. And one of them is just looking at the industry. So if you look at museums as a whole, and attendance has been down. You know, when I began my tenure as executive director at the Red Mill, we were losing $40,000 a year. Our budget was about $260,000, and we've doubled that budget and have very small but a little bit of a profit each year now. Our attendance is up 26%, and a lot of it is paying attention to the programs that we offer. I think they're very good, and we're always looking at ways to improve them. Our exhibits each year become more and more in-depth, more professional. All of our staff are part-time. There's two full-time. It's myself as director, and there's an assistant director, or the only two technically full-time. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is part-time. And to accomplish what we can is amazing. But we've also worked to become part of the community. So we integrate a lot of these events. We're actually doing a Census 2020 event. We're the kickoff site for Hunterdon County on April 1st. And I think that's what, you know, creates a place of or a sense of being for the community to come and explore that museum and go with that growth.
That's amazing. So it's not just the mill, which is what people say. Yes. About 11 acres of quarry and everything.
Yes. I say the mill is our greatest asset. I always say it's a great detriment because nobody looks past the mill. And so if you come onto our site, so we have 10 acres and 12 buildings. And there was and it's a great story. I mean, the mill is interesting because there were multiple owners of the mill, at least 7 different owners, and they all had limited success, which is why there were so many owners, because they would get into some sort of financial distress and pass it off. It was even in receivership at one point. And the quarry was continuously successful, and it was Irish immigrants. The Mulligan family started in 1848. They actually came here before the Irish, the potato famine. They didn't come here for that reason. And it ran until 1963, and it's
actually, what did they mine?
So it was limestone. So they used it for various products. So some of the first roads in New Jersey and the rail beds came from the Mulligan Quarry right there in Clinton.
Wow.
Of course, they would use the lime kilns for the fertilizer for all the the fertilizer and the agriculture in the area. Okay. What's interesting is, if we were looking at the research, they're actually the Mulligans had 3 lime kilns, and then that was actually multiple quarries at one point. So it was Mulligan Quarry, and where the mill is in the front was a different quarry with 2 lime kilns, and in the back was yet another one with 2 lime kilns. And we were laughing because some of the records show the Mulligans sold their lime for the same price for the fertilizer as the other quarries. So it was kind of the joke about the Irish having the great sales wit, because why would they be able to sell so much more than the other companies all at the same price? But they were successful, and we're renovating the tenant house, the Mulligan tenant house, and we're looking to share the story of immigrants. And that's, you know, like I said, it's an interesting story. People, the Red Mill is amazing itself as a building, but I think people want to connect with stories. And so, you know, today we always have these discussions about what's the place of immigration in America, how can we balance the contribution, and telling that story of the Mulligans and some of the employees that they had working there and what they developed, I think is a great way to create some modern relevance to the history that we share.
God, great. That's an amazing story. I've been meaning to get over and do the tour when you do it in the spring and see what's beyond the mill. I've been through the mill a couple of times, which is always interesting in itself. But the rest of the story is just absolutely amazing. And you look at Clinton and you say, Oh, it's a cute town. You know, that's usually the impression people live with, but they don't know what's under the covers.
There's some amazing. I mean, like, of course, the Red Mill's amazing. We have a working blacksmith shop. So there's a blacksmith there most weekends. And, you know, you combine Clinton with, you have the Red Mill, you have the art museum, and then the amazing stores and the restaurants that are there. It's really a great region.
Walk down, because it's about a mile and a quarter walk, if it's a nice Sunday morning, mm-hmm. breakfast somewhere. Yeah. And one Sunday, there was a pig. It was pet pig and ham, which is
100
yeah,
yes.
And I've never pet a pig before. That was a huge pig.
Yes.
And I see people having tent shows, not shows, but events under the tent.
Yes.
Like private parties
The terrace has events, and then we do weddings at the Red Mill also.
Which is a big business. So tourism has become big.
Yes.
And I see you now are on the tourism, or you're cheering for tourism.
I'm one of there's a private-public partnership that the county started, and so was one of the early board members starting that. Tourism, passionate about economic development in Hunterdon County, and tourism is very much a part of that. I go back to the Red Mill and I'm saying that we have two full-time employees, but we employ 31 people, and a lot of them are tour guides and part-time, but they are some high school, but there's college students, and then there's retirees. When you talk about the cost of living out here, they're very much dependent on that extra income to make those ends meet to stay here in Hunterdon County. Plus, we draw 20,000 people to the Red Mill each year, and I'm sure the vast majority of them find their way into town and go to the restaurants and stores and over to the art museum. And the art museum draws its own number of people, too. So I think, I say that river, the south branch of the Raritan, has had two lives powering the town of Clinton, and one was powering it as an industrial site for so many years, and now it's really powering the heritage tourism for Clinton.
Wow.
But we're looking at ways to – I think Clinton's very visible, but we're looking for ways to expand upon that and build it for Hunterdon. I mean, Flemington has a lot of opportunities.
So what else are you doing tourism this year? What are the plans?
So right now we're going to, with the private-public partnership, we're looking at just getting that established and finishing out the board and looking for relationships to build through some of the entities. So the Hunterdon County Chamber is represented there, of course. Some of the other chambers, the Two Rivers Chamber is represented there. And then we're looking for some private entities so that we can create some capacity to start to move forward. The Highlands, we're talking about Highlands and Bethlehem Township. Highlands is helping fund some of this, so we're going to do some additional marketing studies so we know how and where to reach out to connect with people.
Yeah. Well, keep me in mind, I'd like to help you in those efforts.
I'll definitely be talking to you about it because it's going to be...
Tourism Board in mm-hmm. Somerset,
yes.
which is comprised mostly of restaurants and hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different because there's so much more.
Yes.
But they just did the Tourism Awards up at, was last 2 weeks ago, I guess. And Duke Farms mm-hmm. sponsors it. Duke Farms is a wonderful story all on its own. But there's a lot going on there, and I'm saying this. Going in my own backyard. Yeah. I just need to get more involved in it.
Yeah, I think people need to explore and see what Hunterdon has. We don't have the hotels that Somerset does. I think our restaurants, maybe not in number, but definitely in quality and variety match. And then I think what Hunterdon offers is there's so many unique experiences.
Right.
It's not your typical tourism. So, part of that is sharing that message. How can we share? I think, what Lambertville is, Frenchtown, Milford, Stockton,
yep.
Flemington, and then even back to Clinton, it's not as easy to just put that in a pamphlet or a flyer and say, this is what tourism is. There's so many little nuances to explore that people would love.
I know a guy. His name is Brad. He's doing the he does the whole River Valley.
Okay.
But he grew up in the Amwell somewhere, and he's doing nothing but tourism. I can't think of his last name.
Does he have a I think I know who you're speaking. I've been talking to him about
okay.
Yes. He has a nice promotional piece to start for the area. Yes.
We got to talking in Somerset County mm-hmm. about, and there's a name for it, but every 50 years, we had a bicentennial in 76, so now it's 50 years later, so it's 50 years later,
yes.
and it's got a and we were saying, well, we need to promote this. We have all these battlefields and all of this history in Somerset County and Hunterdon County.
Yes.
But that's 5 years from now. It's 2026. We were trying to budget for this year.
Yes.
And that's a difficult balance.
It is. But it's good to plan ahead. I mean, I think that's the key, is to understand what those steps are and go out at least 3 years. But when you have significant events, I know I think that the state's planning some events 5 years out and looking to partner with some of the counties and also the historic sites.
Good, because it's amazing. My office is in Warren Watchung, but mm-hmm. I live here and do everything in between. So I'm sitting up on the ridge in Watchung, and I'm reading the history that they had compiled on this mm-hmm. Frank Lloyd Wright type house. And they were saying that Washington sat on this hill, and you could see the redcoats coming out of New York mm-hmm. and out of New Brunswick at the same time, converge on the area.
Yes.
And I was saying, wow. Here.
Yes, that's one of the coolest stories. And people, it's tough to – I know exactly what you're talking about. And now because of the homes and the development, it's tough to visualize. But once you know it, you can see. I mean, that vantage point is still there.
Especially late fall when I'm miserable. There was so much right around this.
Well, even Hunterdon County, it's interesting because people don't think about it. We're looking at some Native American programs at the Red Mill. But Union County Road 579 in Hunterdon County is a main artery. It runs, the entire length of the county into Mercer County. That was a Native American trading trail, and then eventually Washington followed it, and now it's paved and it's a county road because it's always been the best way to traverse through the county. So it's interesting seeing this history.
Sort of I got to do the analogy because we talked about it here on the show this year. As a fellow that does West Point graduate, so 31 years overseas, and he's now doing leadership management. But we talked about, because his team went back and did the Normandy Beach invasion, I had done it 2 years ago. Yes. So I said, what blew my mind was I went to Omaha Beach, and Omaha Beach, where all of these men gave their lives, was like the French Riviera. There was people in bikinis, there was umbrellas. It was like nobody realized it went on here.
Yes.
And what it is, but the hill and the cemetery is there.
It's
so people lose sight.
They do.
Yeah, I remember it happened, but it's like...
Yeah, you need to keep that perspective.
Yeah. And I know on that trip we went to Berlin, and one of the most disappointing things was nobody in Berlin wanted to talk about the war. Mm. We wanted to get there and learn about what happened after the war.
Yes.
And they didn't want it to hurt too much. So... Long story. So now I see tourism is encompassing movies and TV.
Yes. There's Hunterdon County has a film commission, Mayor Kovach and Clinton has been appointed to the, I believe, the State Film Commission. So it'll be a nice connection. I will share my fun side fact. One of my good friends, Paul Salvetti, is an actor, and so he's dragged me into certain roles here and there. So the Internet Movie Database, the IMDb that you look, I have, if you Google Paul Muir, you will see I have an IMDb page with a few roles and thrown in there. So that's my kind of fun movie fact. In no way do I intend to be involved. But we provide some vehicles for some movies, and I've appeared in a few things. And then I was on a couple of reality shows for vehicles. So that's my fun fact. But I think that's a great use for Hunterdon County. It's one of the things we talk about, economic development and trying to balance for Hunterdon County and looking at...
Because she already runs a movie.
She does a wonderful film festival at the Red Mill. So that'll be in September again this year. We had 2 years before that. And it really does bring something unique and different to Hunterdon County. And then even using Hunterdon County as a backdrop is amazing. I mean, if you look at what we have... right in Hunterdon County, you can kind of create so many different backdrops, whether you're looking for something rural or you're downtown Flemington, you can make it look like so many different things.
There is so much to do here. Yeah. And they were saying, I think Jack Cust has done a nice job of bringing people in, because you have to stay for 2 nights and you come to play ball.
Yes.
You're going to have to stay in a hotel and have the dinners. It's a great way to bring people
it
in.
It is.
It's easy to set the hook because people say, I could live here.
I think so.
It's really a little bit long commute to New York, but it's not as bad as going to Pennsylvania.
No. And I don't see any change immediately, but that's one thing you asked about. You mentioned the 78-22 coalition. Yeah. One of our big kind of our crescendo for, to finish up the year and continuing our advocacy for this year is looking at that transportation. So we had taken a train ride into to Penn Station Newark. And so you could see the difficulty. But what's interesting, what I discovered on that ride too, when you talk about commuting, is the intra railway commute too. So if you look at some of the affordable housing, you know, maybe those jobs are in Somerville or they're in Cranford or Garwood. There's opportunities to ride that train from if you're in Clinton, not necessarily Bethlehem, but if you're in Clinton and jumping on or Highbridge. Even still advocating, I think having better access to the city would help home values.
So those you probably know her, Carol Bianchi, who gave up her mayorship mm-hmm. this year. She's actually doing JCP&L.
Yes.
And she had a one-seat ride thing. Flooded, I said, we were trying to get, so you didn't have to change it north. And that's really a...
That would be our ideal goal. We know that's not an immediate, but we would love to see something like that or that accessibility for Hunterdon. We're also looking at expanding. We're advocating for peak times, adding a couple trains, which they'd taken away a few years ago, so the possibility mm-hmm. is there. And also looking for weekend travel, because when we talk about tourism, right. If you're in Hoboken or Jersey City, wouldn't it be great to throw your bike or a bag or something on and just come out to Hunterdon County for the day and enjoy? And the train would be a great way to do that.
And the thing I could relate to is we're giant season ticket holders, so we've been going to Exit 17 and parking the car, which is called Meadowlands Junction or something. We get on a train and we go... In 6 minutes, you're at the stadium. It's a little bit of a bottleneck getting out because they can only bring a train in every 12 minutes and get the people off safely. But it's a lot better than driving into the stadium and back out. But the thing is, when we get back to Exit 17, people aren't going out and getting in their car like we are. They're getting on another train and going home. It's a mentality.
It's here.
And if you make the connection, you really can... go from Highbridge all the way to New York City, take about 2 hours, but you can do it.
Well, you can do it,
Could you commute? Probably not that way. It's a longer commute than driving a car, but it's there. And I think what Professor Hughes talked about mm-hmm. 2 years ago, because I was at the JCC, the Wolf Center, that opened in Somerset, and I was doing a talk on real estate, and I'm saying how people aren't moving out here anymore. Mm-hmm. But I quoted what he said, and I said it's you take two or three things and make one invention out of it. You take two or three great inventions and make one new invention. Yeah. He's talking about self-driving cars. So I'm saying, well, it's not going to be a self-driving car. In Joe's mind, what it's going to be is you put the HOV lanes back mm-hmm. up, and you put up tandem buses that carry 80 people at 80 miles an hour and you get here in 20 minutes from New York City. And you can do that only if you've got 5G so we don't run into each other. So there's three things put together that can bring the people back. There's no reason not to come here. However, it grew out a little bit out of vogue over time. So he called it a receding economic perimeter. It drew back.
I think if people know the lifestyle and they have better accessibility and you know, if you're on that train, maybe you could work a little bit. I agree 100%. That's one of the questions I asked. The New Jersey Transit Center representative with us. And I'm always looking ahead. I want to know what the impacts are of what we do now, 5 years from now. So I said, you know, we want to increase the train, the accessibility and the number of trains. But are you looking at other technologies? They may make this investment, and then maybe this bus comes along and impacts ridership. So it's something they need to look at, and we need to be aware of.
It will happen because it has to happen. We have what people need, and we have a lifestyle that people want, and it's just like it's kind of impossible to get to right now by today's standards. Yes. By 10 years ago, standards people were doing. Mm-hmm. Paul, we have a minute left. What do you want to talk about? Believe it or not,
it flew by. You know, the big thing both in Bethlehem and the Red Mill is, and then we talked about it with the internet and things, it's just building that sense of community. So I guess my last thing is take some time out to go talk to your neighbors, spend some time in your downtowns, come out to the museums. And the wonderful attractions we have here in Hunterdon County.
Yeah, and just what Alan Hunt talked about with the River Commission is like $30 to join, and it's all year.
Definitely come out. They have some great activities, some great lectures, and
there's,
programs.
There's a Muskanet Gun, which is his. There's a Raritan Canal. There's a million things to do. You just got to get out of the house. okay, I notice when I walk, there's no kids out because they're all inside playing computer games. But we, who are not kids anymore, are out walking. Yes. We can walk some of these more exciting places.
Yeah, get involved and get connected in a different way.
My butt over to the red mill a little more.
Well, come on over.
I appreciate you coming on. Today is the 4th of February, 2020. I've been sitting with Paul Muir, past mayor of the Bethlehem Township area and current council member, and I appreciate you coming on, Paul.
Thank you. I enjoyed the afternoon.
Great. And this is Joe Peters. I'm going to play my intro, which I didn't play at the beginning, so you can know how to contact me. And next week, we're not broadcasting because there's a meeting in Somerville on tourism. But the week after, I have got Sean coming on, who's our head freeholder.
Sean Van Dorn. That's a great person.
Yep. So Sean Van Dorn will be on. Tell us what's going to happen in Hunterdon County. Thank you for tuning in.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is busy preparing for the State of the Union address tonight. It comes just one day before an expected acquittal in his Senate impeachment trial. Republican Senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, tells Fox News what he'd like to hear from the president.
Lay out your vision. This is what we've accomplished together, and this is what we can keep accomplishing. That's what I hope we see tonight. And I'll tell you, I think just about every Republican senator, that's what we hope we see.
The firm that developed the app blamed for the chaos during the Iowa caucuses is issuing an apology. Shadow Inc., the app's developer, says in a tweet that they sincerely regret the delay in the reporting of the results of last night's Iowa caucuses and the uncertainty it has caused the candidates, their campaigns, and Democratic caucus goers. The Democratic candidates have moved on to New Hampshire, and the Iowa caucuses results are set to be released any minute. This is USA Radio News.
Hi everyone, Wayne Alarouche. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down. 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered. 800-289-2646 or go to SwissAmerica.com.
The number of border apprehensions has dropped for the 8th straight month. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more from Washington.
It follows crackdowns by the Trump administration, including forcing asylum seekers back over the U.S.-Mexico border to wait out their claims. A Homeland Security official told the Associated Press on condition of anonymity the total number of encounters with border officials in the month of January was about 36,000. That was a 10% decline from December. It includes apprehensions of people crossing illegally and migrants who were declared inadmissible detectable by border officers at a port of entry. The officials said the number of encounters with border officials over 4 months was around 165,000, when a year earlier during the same period, it was about 242,000.
Harvey Weinstein's rape trial is continuing as one of his accusers, Jessica Mann, is facing questions from Weinstein's attorneys. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
An extremely uncomfortable interview between former Vice President Joe Biden and NBC Today co-host Savannah Guthrie. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky.
It's a political interview making lots of news. Former Vice President Democrat Joe Biden snapping at NBC's Savannah Guthrie as she asks him about his son Hunter's dealings with Ukraine.
No one's found anything wrong with his dealings with Ukraine, except they say it sets a bad image.
Well, do you agree that it sets a bad image?
And my son said that.
Do you think it was wrong for him to take that position?
No.
Knowing that it was really because that company wanted access to you.
And the exchange on NBC News gets more uncomfortable.
Well, that's not true. You're saying things you do not know what you're talking about. No one said that. Who said that?
Don't you think that it's just one of those things where people think, well, that seems kind of sleazy. Why would he have that job if not for who his father was?
Because he's a very bright guy.
In other political news, Senate Majority